Assalamu alaikum. MashaAllah, we have Brother Eddie from the Dean Show here today at the Andalusia studio in the Andalusia Social and Educational Media Center in Houston, Texas. We just finished giving him a tour of this fresh and new project, alhamdulillah, that we're not only trying to launch here locally, but across America. So it's really a pleasure to be able to have you today. And I am very grateful, alhamdulillah, for Allah to have given us this opportunity to meet. I've been wanting to go to your show, and people have told me, you really have to go to the Dean Show. And I said, you know, if I go to the Dean Show, I'll become a personality. It's like the Jay Leno show or Oprah show, you know, for Muslims. And speaking to you today, alhamdulillah, I think there's a lot of benefit that we have gathered. And I thank you, and may Allah accept from you and continue to guide you and give you the best, inshallah, of success, not only with the show, but in general, in life, inshallah, in this life and the hereafter. So jazakallah khair. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. You started off with peace. You wished me peace. I wish you back peace. Walaykum as-salam. May Allah bless you too, the creator of the heavens and earth, for doing this wonderful project, this show, and for your wonderful work. I'm honored to be here with you.
MashaAllah. Thank you so much. So Eddie, usually you're on the asking side of things.
Yes.
So I'll take this opportunity to ask some of the questions that a few you've mentioned have asked, like Sheikh Yusuf Estes and others. But for us, maybe here in Houston, and for myself as a media professional and a person who has embraced Islam, we have certain questions, and I hope, inshallah, that you can shed some light on these for the general good. One of the first things was about your background. It was interesting to know. I honestly thought that you had embraced Islam from the beginning, like you had no clue. The same as myself, I had no clue about Islam one day. I didn't even know the word Islam existed, or Muhammad, you know, peace be upon him, or even the word Allah. But you're telling me you come from a different background. Tell me a little bit about Islam in your background. Was it there? Was it not? How did that happen?
Well, I came from a predominantly, the background was Muslim, but it was just no substance to it. I didn't know what Muslim meant. I didn't really even know any of the tenets of Islam. I didn't know what Islam meant. I wasn't practicing Islam. Islam is an action. It's something you do. You make a conscious decision. It's not by default now. You're a Muslim. You're, you know, saved and you're chosen. You're going to paradise. You got a, you know, one-way ticket to paradise. It doesn't work like that. You have to consciously submit yourself to the Creator and do what He wants you to do, all the wonderful things. I wasn't doing that. My parents weren't doing that. So we were in a family, I was in a family of Muslims who weren't practicing Islam.
What's your ethnic background, by the way?
Bosnian. Yes, that's from the former Yugoslavia.
Okay, yeah. Excellent. Yeah. Okay. So at what point in time do you think you had that urge to either change or embrace the deen of Islam based on action consciously?
Well, I started to get older, started to see some of the wrinkles kicking in, you know, some of the gray hairs, and things just started to get, as we say, just routine, just living a mundane life. You know, it was exciting for some time, but then it just starts to get boring. You know, you go through the action-packed lifestyle, and you want to mimic the superstars on TV, and you go to your, you know, parties, you work from Monday to Friday to have a good time and enjoy on the weekend, and over the years, it just starts to get played out. You know, it just becomes routine. It becomes something that is really, it's not satisfying for the soul. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're working on the body, the mind, but the soul is empty. Mm. So I came to a point where I started to ask, what's the purpose of life? What's this all about? I started to reflect about death, the reality of the grave, that one day I'm going to be there.
What was happening in your life that made you think this way? Because a lot of people go through life and they just cancel out those thoughts. There has to be some hardcore situations, life choices, or something drastic that happens in life. Did you have something like that?
Well, that's how really with me, it wasn't nothing in a spectacular event that happened. It was just small incidences here or there that I wasn't feeling it. It was like eating the same food, and it just, the taste, you had to experience so many. There's a story of a multi-billionaire who when he took his shahada, he talked about, you know, when the scholar of Islam asked him, what was it now? He started to cry when he took the testimony of faith, that same testimony that if you were living during the time of Jesus, Moses, that testimony that you're testifying, you're taking this free will that, you know what, I'm not going to submit to my desires, I'm going to submit to the one who created me. I'm going to submit and do all these wonderful things. I'm going to obey his messengers that he sent throughout time. So he took this testimony that there's no God but God, and Muhammad is the last and final messenger. And he became a Muslim. So when he was asked, why did you, you know, start crying, start bawling, you know? And he was like, because I was a slave to everything in creation. He was a multi-billionaire now. Mm-hmm. So he had tasted all the finest dishes. He had been with all the most beautiful women, had the most exotic cars, the most beautiful houses, and nothing filled that void inside. Mm. So finally, when he came to this realization that there is a purpose in life, and who best to tell me but the creator of the heavens and earth, and he submitted to that purpose, this is what brought him that peace and that happiness. And that's what I was looking for. That void was there. It was there. I had, in my own little world, my own little realm, I had tasted, I had experimented, and there was no happiness, there was no joy, there was no solace. And it was a game, just going, and somebody's winning. Sometimes you win some, and you lose some. Mm-hmm. So I was at the point where I start to lose some of these games. And at the end, I was like, these young bucks, young boys, young men who are coming up, you know, you always want to be the tough guy on the block. Mm-hmm. But there's somebody else who wants it more. Your desire is going down, so someone else is coming up, and that person is going to either step on you, you're going to get stepped on, or you're going to have to clear the road, so you're going to end up in jail, you're going to end up destroying your life. So these things start going, you're wiser now, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
You're wiser, and I start thinking, reflecting, and I start to ask that very crucial question, what is the purpose of life? Why am I here? Why have I been created? And alhamdulillah, all thanks to the creator of heavens and earth, that Islam provided all the rational, logical proofs that this was from the creator. And finally, the void was filled.
MashaAllah. Excellent. MashaAllah. So when you made that transition and you were actually begin to embrace the concept of living as a Muslim wholeheartedly based on action, what led you from that period of time to think about something like the Deen Show? What was it that led up to that? What were some of the reasons that you said, you know, if I were to do something like a talk show for Muslims, then it would then do? What was going through your mind? What was that thought process like?
After I had made a conscious decision, okay, this is the truth based on proof, based on logical, analytical approach to this. And then I was like, you know what? If I just share this with all my friends, they're going to come to the same realization. It's scientific. It's something that, you know, all these facts, it's not something like, it's not blind belief. It's not something that, okay, like when you talk to people about religion, it's something personal, you know, you got your God here and you do things on the weekend or something. No, it's a complete way of life. So I thought, you know, and it's something rational. It's something that it just makes good old common sense. So I said, man, if I just share this with people, you know, they're going to feel as good as I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to have purpose in life now. So I just started to share. I took a Dawah course. I started to, you know, I went through, again, it's a long story made short. I went through the whole transition, you know, reading, studying, sitting with people, and then kind of filtering out, you know, from the places where I shouldn't go, the places I should go, the people I should sit with, people I shouldn't sit, going through authentic knowledge, unauthentic knowledge. I went through that whole transition too, long story. And then finally, you know, when I realized, okay, I had that comprehensive blueprint, I said, let me share this blueprint with people, you know, because mm-hmm. it's going to give them substance in life. It's going to give them joy, peace. It's going to show them that, you know, this life is temporary. We should be aiming for something high, paradise, you know. But at the same time, you're not sacrificing this life. You'll take the best from this life, but you're not going to get attached to this life. So make a long story short, I start to share it. You know, it's like if you develop a cure, now you find the cure for cancer, for AIDS, you'd be someone who's really unfair and unjust that you're not sharing this right. with others. So the same way, you know, that person who wouldn't keep that to himself, you're a good person, you want to share this good information. And this is something that takes care of all the social ills that are out there. This way of life that's not organized by men, but it's organized by the creator of the heavens and earth. And I just had this excitement. Let me share it, because sharing is caring. And Islam says love all mankind. So we love our brothers in humanity. And instead of giving them a Ferrari, a Benz, or all this money, Islam, the way of life from the creator, is the best gift that we can give humanity, because we love humanity.
MashaAllah. Did you begin giving talks to certain groups like youth and trying to inspire certain people because of your change, or did you just straightforward feel like, okay, if I'm going to share this message with so many people, I have to utilize media and I have to take this camera and be able to just share it with as many people online as I can. How did you come to the realization of the fact that, you know, media was the way that you wanted to basically share this message?
Yeah, so what happened was that I was talking to individuals, and then I would also get to talk to non-Muslims, the not-yet Muslims, because everyone has a potential to give birth what's already inside of you, that want and that need to submit to a higher power. So Islam called you not to submit to a man or woman, but the creator of man and woman. So I was talking to individuals, I started to talk to groups, they'd come to the masjid, and we'd have some dialogue, present Islam. And then what happened was, the Deen Show, which some people would think now this is my name, Deen, but Deen is simply the Arabic word which means the way of life, the way of life, the same way of life again, as I emphasized, the same way of life that Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah lived, and his companions at that time, the same way of life that Moses lived, Abraham. It's that way of submitting yourself, not to the creation, but to the one God. So I'm preparing for Hajj, fifth pillar of Islam, all right? And now a lot of technical details. Right. And I was also projects. You always look as a Muslim. You got now this excitement to get more good deeds. So one good deeds is really educating people. So I used to fly out some different scholars, and we would hold events together at the masjid. Okay. So I had a friend of mine come out, and I said, "Man, you know what? Let me put this on tape because he's explaining to me you got to do this, this, and that." On the fifth pillar of Hajj, that same Hajj that Malcolm X, when he went to, who used to be a racist, he was with this nation, and then he left this nation because he went to Hajj, and this is where white, black, Chinese, we all sit together, worship together, worshiping the one God together. I was going to do that. And then all thanks is to the Creator, Allah, that we recorded it, he liked it. This sheikh was also a dawah machine, Muhammad Said Adli. I don't know if you know
where he's from. He's met a him? Pioneer of dawah in America. Yes.
He doesn't stop.
He's a good friend, mashallah.
Mashallah. Excellent. And you know, if you've been around him, he's just all day. And
I just ran into him this last Hajj. Yeah. He's always leading groups every single year. And he's
the
very
one.
Active.
Yes, he's the mashallah. One. And we recorded it. He liked it. I liked it. And I said, "Man, you know what?" Because when you're talking to some people, they're not excited. You learn the hard way. Some people are excited about it. Some people, they're still stuck on chasing their desires and, you know, this temporal world. Right. So you get discouraged sometime. But after we recorded it, the light bulb went on. I said, "Alhamdulillah, this is a great way to reach more people. You don't, one-on-one is great. It's great. But this is, it's there. You put the information. Now, if they want it, if they don't, it's up to them. They can change the channel." So the media was a great way to reach a lot of people and benefit humanity.
MashaAllah. Excellent. Now, just a few days ago, Oprah Winfrey, okay, ended her show. And this show went on for 25 years. For a lot of people who don't know what Oprah Winfrey is or represents to America, she represents the fiber of American culture, especially the messaging, the strong messaging of women being empowered. Mm-hmm. That's the main underlying message. But when you see Oprah, I mean, she just had Obama there and Michelle, I mean, as friends. They've been friends for a long time. She's come to, you know, have a large following worldwide. I mean, when I was living in Egypt, they show her there. They show her, you know, many parts of the globe. You're in Chicago, and that's where Harpo Studios is.
Yes.
Where her, you know, I thought it was interesting that you have possibly the first, you know, Muslim-geared or topic-driven show that is of a format like a Jay Leno show or a, you know, Oprah Winfrey show. How do you feel about that? Is there any connection ever in your mind or anything in regards to aspiring to the level of being able to reach such a high mainstream? Even.
I would love that. That's actually one of my dreams, is to that if Allah, the Creator of the heavens, ever opens that door, without us ever compromising, because we have the verbatim Word of God, which is a healing. It's a medicine. It's the criteria for how a human being needs to live. So we go by that in the authentic tradition of the last and final messenger sent to mankind. And if we can, instead of replace now the Oprah show with the Deen show, that is a benefit for all of mankind. It's something that I would love. You know, if Allah opened up the channel, if it's a direction that He knows it's good for us, it's good that we can take this avenue, that would be something amazing. That'd be something amazing because we'd be able to, again, reach more people. And I think this program, because we have some of the brightest minds that we bring on the show, gems of wisdom for the whole of mankind that can bring society together, that can feed this emptiness that society is missing through these scholars that we bring on and we interview them on the show, people whose lives have changed and they've accepted Islam, the fallacies, clearing up the many misconceptions. You know, you have, when you say Islam, people think terrorism, Muslim terror, women oppressed. These are all nonsensical fallacies, misrepresentations, and Islam is still the fastest growing way of life in the world today, but it's the most misunderstood. So if we can truly have peace and harmony, we need understanding. And the Dean Show, all thanks to the creator of heaven and earth, is doing that by bringing on people, collaborating with people from all different ethnicities, hearing their stories, bringing on these gems of wisdom that people from the sidelines, even if they don't accept this way of life that's from the creator, they can at least understand us a little better.
Excellent.
And then that false fear will be eradicated.
Good, excellent. Now, mashallah, this is what the Dean Show has become. How were those early stages? Whenever you were calling someone and asking them to be part of something like a talk show, something that is unorthodox, sometimes with the community, whenever, you know, there's ideas that are dealing with media or something new or getting in front of cameras, I mean, there has to be a level of comfort in order to be able to engage in that. What were some of the comments at the beginning, possibly even some of the criticisms that you may have received? At the beginning, how was it taken by the people? I mean, was it just open arms and said, yes, this is great, and we keep it going? Or was there some apprehension about a format like a talk show?
It just has me think to the earlier days, how at that time, it was difficult. But at the time, Allah made it easy. It was so enjoyable. But now I look at, back then, some of the things that we went through, it was tough, you know, traveling here, traveling there, not knowing if you're going to get any interviews, just showing up on the spot and say, hey, would you like to be on the show? Who's this guy?
Yeah,
so it was tough.
Right.
And, you know, but alhamdulillah, it was like that test from Allah. And this is what I encourage every person that's in da'wah. And if you're not doing da'wah, you're missing what this deen is all about. Mm-hmm. Because if you want a prophet's reward, you got to do a prophet's job. You got to get out there and be involved to change the society for the better. And what better way than sharing? Because again, sharing is caring, sharing this beautiful way of life with the world. So I was out there trying, and a lot of trial and error, and, you know, hitting dead ends. But many people give up. I just didn't give up because I love this deen so much. Alhamdulillah.
Mashallah.
Here, alhamdulillah.
Mashallah. So through all the adversity that may have happened and challenges, you continued, mashallah, and Allah blessed it. Alhamdulillah. Excellent. Now, from your background and then the Dean Show and the sort of success led up to the making of a film, right? Which
yes.
is Dunya to Deen, I believe, right?
Yes, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. So how did that notion come about? When did that happen? And, you know, tell me a little bit about that process and that project.
So what happened with Dunya to Deen was, that was at a time when people were asking me, like, man, you're always interviewing people. You know, what about you? What's your story? So I was thinking, you know what? I'm always about trying to make things more exciting within the perimeters, again, of the halal style, the halal way, you know, not now compromising. We don't want to ever compromise, right? But there's flexibility in this deen, right? Things don't always have to be so rigid, and we're like, okay, and you know, people who are just used to flickering through the channels, you can't get their attention, but we can get their attention in a way that, again, is still pleasing to the creator, Allah. Now, so what happened was, I was like, I want to do something different. I want to make it into a documentary, a film. That was what was going inside my head. The wheels were turning.
As a response to people saying, what's your story?
In a response to people saying, what's your story?
Good.
So after, and I don't really like talking too much about myself. And, you know, I was contemplating, I was debating and whatnot. And then I would ask the scholars, what do you think as a benefit to people? Because again, we're not, as Muslims, it's like a person, when you go and rob a bank. You know, that movie, what was it, Goodfellas? When Tony Soprano, Robert De Niro, and they were coming in. You saw the movie, and they were like just yapping their mouths. They just robbed the bank, big heist. Mm. And the guy comes in with the fur. The other guy comes in, he just bought a new car. You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
So now what I'm equating this to is, we've done some things in the past we're embarrassed about, we're ashamed about. Mm. Allah, He covers our sin by day and night. So the worst thing someone can do now is go ahead and just the details of his life, exposing it, and he's happy about. We're not happy about a lot of the things we did in the past. So we don't go into the details. We'll talk in general, right? Mm-hmm. So then I was like, what if I talk about some of these things in general for the benefit and communicating this message to people who live this way of life? And it's one thing speaking English, but then the language, the culture is a different thing. Mm-hmm. So I know how these people think. I know I can speak that language just like you can. So then we finally, I was, again, these are things I'm asking about it. I'm not really in a hurry. And then alhamdulillah, there was a brother in town. He was filming something for Gain Peace, and I was helping them out. And then he introduced himself to me. He said, I'm a filmmaker. I finished school for this. I'd like to get your story. And then a light bulb again goes on. I said, man, I've been thinking about this. I said, man, I've been just, you know, contemplating.
Was he Muslim or non-Muslim?
He's Muslim,
he's Muslim.
Yeah. Scholes Films. And I was like, you know what? We need to collaborate. Mm-hmm. So it's like the Qadr of Allah. Allah set it up. And then from there, we started talking. We made the plan and we went forward with it. He came out, stayed with me for some time, and we put it together.
MashaAllah. MashaAllah. How long was the whole process from beginning to end?
I think, I'm guessing, because again, he had other projects, and there was thing. He came and stayed. He had to go out, and he did reenactments.
Right.
So he had actual actors while I was speaking, while the other people he interviewed were speaking about certain
the voiceover,
events.
Yeah, basically. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the voiceover and actual live reenactments.
Right.
Yeah,
right,
like
right.
fights when we're talking about fighting. Then
right.
he got these actors fighting.
Good.
So he had to go out, and this just it's time consuming.
Yeah, that's why I'm wondering, because you know, anytime we engage in a project media-wise, people want to see the final result.
Yeah.
And when they don't understand the final, you know, the whole process, they're just like, well, when can I see it?
Yeah.
And it's tough because that takes a life of its own.
So that's why
I'm wondering, how long was it about?
Going on over a year and a half, going on 2 years.
Good. Yeah. Understood.
But alhamdulillah,
alhamdulillah, excellent.
Yeah.
There's a documentary that I actually produced back in 2004 called Muslim ID, mm-hmm. Told from a New Perspective. And I remember it took almost a year, you know, to complete. So I had to edit down 27 hours, you know, to a tight, you know, we were trying to get it around an hour, hour and a half. We ended up with an hour and 45 minutes. But mm-hmm. That's why I'm asking the questions. MashaAllah, tomorrow, actually, you'll be speaking about it, right? Here in Houston, in one of the Illumination, MashaAllah. Yeah. I'm speaking along with you as well.
Mashallah.
So alhamdulillah, it's an honor. MashaAllah. Taib. So after possibly meeting many people and going to many different communities and so on. Is this your first time here in Houston?
First time in Houston.
First time in Houston. Tell me a little bit about that.
It's nice. I like it. I was really impressed with the community here and the masjid. The masjid is amazing. Sheikh Waleed Wasuni is a gem. He's an ocean of knowledge. And he, with his broader scope of thinking, the way he designed the masjid, this is something that a replica should be made all over the U.S., especially inviting non-Muslims to see how we live, because, you know, you have a lot of false, again, misinformation about radicalization of the youth and terrorism, all these stuff, to see there's not a bomb-making factory. You got Muslims there who are law-abiding citizens, doctors, you know, lawyers, engineers, who come there to put their face on the ground the same way Jesus, peace be upon him. He put his face on the ground. He worshiped the one God. We come there to do that, but he set up a nice little play area for the kids.
Right, you don't
got to go to Starbucks. They got Wi-Fi there, mm-hmm. a nice lounge area. You got a gym, staying fat, because all this biryani and all this greasy food, you're getting heavy. So you can come and work out, feel good, you know.
Right.
And it's also work to bring. A lot of the brothers would come, pray, leave, as he was saying, even mm-hmm. the sisters, they didn't know each other, right?
Yes.
So now he said this has enhanced the relationship between the community.
Mashallah.
But a lot of the communities have, a lot of the masjids, I call it, have been hijacked with some of the old timers, so they don't get the youth involved.
Right.
And now the youth are out there because they have nothing to do, getting in trouble, but they should be, you know, doing good, but we're not providing an avenue for them. This masjid that I saw in Houston, it provides that avenue, and it's
Mashallah.
Something wonderful.
MashaAllah. So you're talking about the Clear Lake Islamic Center.
Clear Lake Islamic Center.
Right, which they call it in short, CLIC.
CLIC.
And you can see even from the aspect of the wording, CLIC, you know, with youth, it just clicks, you know.
Yeah.
And MashaAllah, I'm glad MashaAllah. That you mentioned the whole aspect of the youth being involved and giving them some way or some venue where they can socialize and get to know one another. This is something that we used to discuss a long time ago. When I first embraced Islam 10 years ago, actually, I saw that it was tough bringing in some of my old friends that I knew before I was Muslim into an environment where they could engage with Islam, because the platform was just so much different. It was like them leaving to another country, and they used to feel like, you know, I feel out of place. I don't. They used to be honest, some of them straightforward, and be like, look, I'm not from a certain race or this or that. You know, we were raised down the block. You know, you're changing your culture. They used to think I was changing my culture and becoming either Arab or Pakistani or some other ethnicity that they saw majorly represented. And that led us, mashallah, I mean, I'm part of, you know, working with Sheikh Wali Basunian, trying to come up with some level of solution, mashallah, and he's done that in the masjid setting, which has a social side to it. Now, we're here, as you saw, it's like 45 minutes away, almost an hour away, you know, here, and we have established this center, the Andalusia Social and Educational Media Center, and what we hope to be that social venue and that sort of complementary way of working with the masajid. 10 minutes from here, 3 minutes from here, we have so many masajid in the southwest area, maybe the highest concentration in Houston. You can drive 10 minutes in different directions and pretty much be at a mosque. So this is your first time you come to the Andalusia Center. Based on the tour that we gave you and everything, tell me a little bit about, you know, what you see here and your vision. Basically, is you're a visionary and you've done projects. What do you see that this has the capability of being, or what does this mean in regards to the Muslim community, possibly in Houston or possibly in America?
Now, that I'm going to make it concise for the limited amount of time, but I can go on and on from just, you know, the aspect here of what you guys are doing, from just walking in the door. I mean, this is a great blessing for the Ummah. And again, may Allah, the Creator of the heavens, reward you for the wonderful work that all the brothers that I've met here are doing, you know, from the audio projects that you have. You got the visual, you know, the video. Alhamdulillah, this is something amazing. It's one of its kind. You don't have too many of these things out there. So this is a project that needs to be supported. People need to stop by and visit and contribute in any way. If you're someone, I always say, look, if you're not able to do this kind of work, support this kind of work. Because now, how are we going to create change? How are we going to help each other? How are we going to benefit, you know, society if we don't have a voice, if we're not able to speak, if we're not opening our mouths, and you're providing a channel that the Muslims can be heard from this venue? And it's something amazing.
Mashallah.
Amazing. May Allah bless you.
Ameen. Appreciate it. In regards to the youth, the new Muslims, even non-Muslims, I've seen that they're very, they gravitate towards media, okay? Mm-hmm. And from your time of dealing with media and knowing people like Sheikh Waleed, and we're here in Houston, and many of the scholars, as you've mentioned, that have gone to your show, they kind of come in and out. You know, they're teaching through Al-Maghrib or they're stopping by. What would you recommend? This is an aspect of advice, and it's sincere advice, mashallah, because we haven't even discussed this before. Mm-hmm. What do you recommend that we do here for those people who are coming? There is the format that you have chosen, which is a talk, you know, sort of show. And then there may be some social issues-based sort of discussions that we can have with these people, and then go on and reenact or actually take interviews of people outside that are dealing with that social issue, whether it be for the youth or whether it be even for non-Muslims. As I mentioned to you, I just went and spoke at a penitentiary, in a jail, and there were about 100 inmates there, and all of them are serving double-digit sentences, more than 10 years. And none of them know what it's like to be Muslim outside in the real world. They have all become Muslim inside of the penitentiary. And there are 133 jails around the Houston area, and there are 5 Muslim chaplains, and there's about 20 volunteers. So whenever we see that great need and they ask us to go and speak, it's taken me so long to go in there, but it was so rewarding when I went. And they showed this documentary that we did. And then I start thinking, you know, if they could see, you know, films like yours and be able to, you know, see things that are within context of their reality, that group would benefit. And we have an individual that can bring that through. There's high schools, you know, that have a specific message that if it's geared towards education and still make it entertaining and not compromise, there's that venue. You know, with media, we have so much that we could do. What would you advise in regards to a setup where we can benefit people in general based on what you already see and you understand in media. And this is a general advice I'm asking anyone and everyone. And inshallah, we hope to get some people here locally from the Houston community and discuss these issues, because we have the tools now, alhamdulillah. The issue is, what are we going to do with them? And I'd rather them be a collective effort instead of us just saying, this is what we're going to do, and you know, we have one straight way of looking at it. What do you think that we could do to benefit and go at a realm possibly even that hasn't been done before? If it's a talk show, I know that we can tap in now and ask you questions. Sheikh Yusuf Estes has his television channel now, and we're, you know, working with him, Huda TV, Islam channel, all of these venues. You're seeing the global perspective. What do you think is needed that we could fill, and what would you advise us?
With my experience now, what I've seen is, again, we're living in a time that people look to the West.
Yes.
And we're here in the West living, and we're Americans who are law-abiding citizens. We love our country, and we want, the best for the people. So you speak the language of the people. You know, I think I do too. And there's other people also. Now, the organizations that are here, I want to talk with the big dogs, the people out there, because Allah is the one who gives power and He takes away power. And now, what are you going to do with it? So the people that are on the streets, the people that are out there, such as yourself, I think that now they need to be given the opportunity, because you can only, from here, it'll take you longer maybe to reach more people. Then eventually, inshallah, we'll get there. But these organizations, the big organizations, for instance, like Peace TV, I'll give you an example, yes. Huda TV, Allah has given them the satellite, all right? Allah gave it to them. So now they need to bring people on such as yourself, people who are out there in the West who know the language and the time we're living with. You can take someone with, he's loaded with, and we love our scholars, we have to sit with the scholars. But now you take someone and you bring him here, and he doesn't connect with the people, culture clash.
Right.
He's not going to be able to have a good influence such as yourself and many of the other brothers. So you need to collaborate and work together. And this is what Allah loves, that we're working together, that we're sitting together, that we're talking together for the same cause of benefiting people together. So these people that have these satellite channels, the big organizations, ISNA, ICNA, you go through a lot of it, may Allah reward all of them. But a lot of times you get stuck in a habit, a routine, someone has a position, and now for years, change is not happening. You know, it's like the same format is set up. We need to get we need to make things a little more interesting. We need to get the people who, you know, are the masses who are away from the deen, get them back into the deen. We need to reach out in a different way instead of the same mundane way, all again within the realms of a way that's pleasing to Allah. So this wonderful work that you're doing is a treasure. So now these people that Allah has given the ability to reach more people, they need to bring us, you in, and we need to work together so we can reach more people together.
MashaAllah. So these are the outlets.
These are the outlets, because that's what was going through my mind, these outlets.
Right. And you know, it's interesting you mentioned that, because I was in Huda TV when I was living in Egypt, and I actually did some consulting work for them, and they actually offered me to run the satellite station there in Huda, because I know Ahmed Fahmi.
Yeah.
And
MashaAllah, good brother.
MashaAllah, yes, he's the general manager there. I met the CEO of the channel.
Yeah.
I didn't take it because I felt like there was more of a need to come here and produce from the West. There was a limited ability for me to be able to produce media from there, because if we needed anybody from the West, we had to bring them.
Yeah.
And it's tough. And I was there, and Sheikh Yasser Fazaka, many other people from the West would come, and Sheikh Yusuf Estes. But as you mentioned, we're in the West, and people are interested to see what's happening in the West. We're strategically located, positioned. Islam Channel in the UK, I was there with the brothers as well.
Yeah.
These are venues that, mashallah, are wide open. Yeah. The thing that is needed, and I don't know if you've run into this, is the aspect of what is being produced. Where is that programming that connects with the people, as you mentioned?
That's what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So would you say that if we having these venues open, which mashallah, Allah has opened those gates through Huda TV, Islam Channel, Peace TV, I haven't tapped into that.
Yeah.
But mashallah, Sheikh Waleed has been there, and you know, maybe that could happen. So would you say that we now have the challenge basically to produce that sort of material and content from here that basically can then along with working with these channels can be exported to the rest of the
world. You don't have to necessarily be in Egypt or UK. From here, you have the means.
Yes.
One click away. You know, you can transfer the footage. You can transfer your work via internet. It's in a matter of minutes, hours.
Excellent.
It's very simple. So
and you mentioned you're doing that, right? I mean, you're doing that with these channels.
Alhamdulillah. So, you know, this is something that you're on the ground here.
Yes.
You record the documentaries, the shows, and information, and you can get it to these channels. And the venues just need to open it up, and we need to just collaborate and work together.
MashaAllah. Excellent. Now, how do you come over the hurdle of people who don't know media? Mm-hmm. And I've made this blanket statement in the past. We can record here and have the different television channels all over the world basically broadcast it. For someone who doesn't know media, sometimes I've run into people who feel like, but you don't have a multi-million dollar facility. Mm-hmm. Because they think it takes multi-million dollars to be able to do that sort of thing. But you and I know in media, as you mentioned, is just a click away. Whatever we do here, we can just send it in a matter of, I mean, minutes, alhamdulillah. Mm-hmm. How do you overcome that, or did you ever have that, you know, with your community and being able to educate them to the point where they actually saw that it can happen?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember some of that? Because that's part of what we're going through right now.
Yeah.
To mention this, you know, I just had someone the other day come and they said that they wanted their own television channel.
Yeah.
And if we could help. And they're talking about a massive amount of funds of people who are coming and they want a television channel. But I'm telling them the same thing a television channel does, we're able to do here. And it doesn't take all of that. But they say, no, we want the satellite and we want the feed and certain things that are so elaborate. And I remember Sheikh Yusuf Estes was telling me it costs like about $40,000 just to get the uplink
mm-hmm.
to the a month
yeah.
To the satellite. So why do all that if Sheikh Yusuf already has the uplink, for example?
Yeah.
Why do all that if, you know, Huda TV already has a satellite? So it's been a challenge to kind of slim down and say, no, what we can do is generate that programming that you're saying within context of the people. All these channels are already available as a means. There's somewhat of a concern there that it can't really happen. What would you advise? We just get on and just do it? Or was there some period of time that you actually educated the people and showed them how it was done? Did you have a group of faithful supporters that said, you know, you lead the way, and as long as you feel it can happen, we're with you? How did that happen?
Well, you always have optimistic people and you have pessimistic people. So a person who looks at the glass half empty or half full.
Right.
So I try to really look at things in a different light and to be optimistic. And always know reliance on Allah is first. And Allah, the creator of heavens and earth, when you start moving forward, He moves mountains.
Mashallah.
And He is the one that can make things happen when all else is just in failure and you've given up, Allah opens up the door. So from my experience, I remember going to dawah meetings, and we have to obviously work as a community, as a jamaat. Islam doesn't promote like just this individualism.
Right.
You go on your own.
Excellent.
So definitely, I was trying to do that, but it was just a lot of talk, and talk is cheap.
Right. There
so,
you go. Excellent.
You know, you get a few people in the room, and this guy's arguing about this, he's arguing about that, and I'm sitting there watching, and I was just, you know, so hungry to get
this
information.
You want to do the work.
I said, let's just
get
talk
exactly.
is cheap, so I wanted to get to work. I said, let's just go pass on some flyers.
Mashallah.
Let's go out and, you know, give these things out. We're sitting here, we just went through a half a dozen meetings, we didn't move nowhere.
Right.
So I just decided, I said, I'm going to get to work. You know,
excellent.
Just do the work. You know, roll up your sleeves.
Right.
You know, as the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was moving those boulders, they're building the masjid. Mm-hmm. He wasn't sitting back, he was just, you know, active. So let's get involved. And along the way, again, we need to be organized, make a plan, do things right. But let's see some action. So I was a person, and alhamdulillah, like yourself, a person of action. And people who want to act, there's always going to be people who aren't in the way. You know, we've got to get these people out the way and just keep moving forward and just put reliance on Allah. And Allah is the one who makes things happen.
MashaAllah. Jazakallah khair. With that advice, I mean, I think it's very underground, solid advice of an individual that actually is living that life. And mashallah, may Allah bless you.
You too,
and, you know, continue to give you success, inshallah, in this life and the next. And alhamdulillah, I think with that, we are good. We can open it up for, if you don't mind, if we can take like 5 minutes, do you think, from the audience?
Sure.
For some of the questions of the people in the audience, this would be great. If you guys have any questions. yes, Sister Shahida.
Have you ever tried to approach Oprah?
Yeah.
So, have you ever tried to approach Oprah?
No, actually, I never had the opportunity. I've never met her. Or had the, that'd be great. I'd love to have a sit down. So if somehow this gets to Oprah and she see it, I'd love for her to come on the Dean Show, or she doesn't have a show anymore. But if it comes to her, sometimes, you know, in this vast world of media, even these people that you don't think, they're also, you know, going on the internet, and you know, sometimes maybe late at night they see their name, it pops up, and if she sees this, Oprah, come on the Dean Show. Let's make it happen.
Mashallah. Any other question? Yes, sister.
Are you also considering translating the media that you record in other languages, because a lot of people who come to West, but they don't understand English, so like in Bosnia and in other parts of the world, they like, I see some of the personal individual trying to translate things because they want to have the message, but it's, like if it's more professional and it comes out with options for the other language, I think we'll, you know, reach more people.
What language in specific?
Like, even like European languages like Russian, Bosnian, or even Urdu, or like other like languages, those Muslims also, they need guidance. There are a lot of them also.
MashaAllah. What do you think about that?
Allahu Akbar. God is great. And I want to thank all those people, because I was very surprised that there people have taken the Dean Show and they've translated many shows in the Bosnian language. I've seen it in Albanian. I'm not sure if I've seen it in Spanish.
With subtitles?
With subtitles. Okay. With subtitles. These are subtitles.
Right.
People have authored to translate it in Turkish, the movie now coming out. So I'm surprised. In French. It's been translated in French with
Mashallah.
The subtitles. I want to thank the people. It was very surprising,
Mashallah. These are just random people.
Just random people.
They just took it upon
themselves.
Yes.
And this is
right.
Such a great reward. You don't have Mashallah. To be, putting your own show together. You don't have to be doing some of the things we're doing. But this is contributing. This is
exactly.
Part you can contribute in this way. And people
right.
have taken it upon themselves.
Mashallah.
They've done this. And they're benefiting. They're
yes.
benefiting, from this. Every time someone watches it, they're getting in the reward.
Mashallah.
The blessing and reward from the Creator.
Mashallah.
Yeah.
Along the lines, and it's interesting, the question about language. Because we have a project called Islam in Spanish, mm-hmm. and we chose that wording for the name for it to stick out, like Islam in the Spanish language, because literally there was, nothing, even for literature, mm-hmm. books, like 10 years ago, very little. When my father became Muslim at the age of 57 years old, I had very little to give him, and that's what inspired us to kick that project off. And you had Brother Abdullah Danny Hernandez on your show,
yes.
Alhamdulillah, when he went and did two programs on behalf of Islam in Spanish in Chicago
mm-hmm.
A few months ago, Alhamdulillah, mm-hmm. and you interviewed him. And we're going all over the nation and really worldwide to be able to share this message in the Spanish language. But we chose that name because to deliver information, and as the sister's asking, it's key the information that is delivered in a specific language. Because when translating, as we know, from one language to the other, it's not direct, straightforward.
Yes.
And Allah says in the Quran, every messenger He sent to speak in the language of their people.
Yes.
So whenever translation happens, there's a benefit, no doubt. But the straightforward, from the heart, spoken language in that message to those people comes within a cultural context.
Yeah.
And so that's it's unique that you're doing it in English, because it is a mainstream sort of language that maybe even people from all over these countries may know, especially the educated amongst them. But then there are those individuals that need things even done in their own dialect, in their own countries.
Absolutely, yes.
That have that. So, mashallah, it's good to pinpoint these groups and possibly have people take it upon themselves to focus on specific demographics and people who need the message of Islam. If people were to concentrate just from the venue of language, mashallah, and do projects, they have a target niche or demographic of people who they're benefiting. Because
yeah.
I don't know if you felt this with the Dean Show, you want to, touch as many people as possible. But, you can't just do everything as one individual.
No.
What do you think about that in the issue of focus? I mean, how do you deal with that? You have non-Muslims watching the show because it's public access television.
Mm-hmm.
You have Muslims watching the show. You have the English language. Some people may say something in Arabic, and I've seen you say something like, oh, this means this. How do you deal with all that in regards to language, from your show? How do you view that?
I take it back to my personal experiences, hearing words like subhanallah, alhamdulillah, which means glory be to God, alhamdulillah, praise, thanks to God. I didn't know what these meant. So I'm like, why is this guy talking Arabic? Just say English, you know what I mean?
Right.
But then, you know, even when I, you would go through some of the prayer, back, way back, you put your head on the ground, you say, I wouldn't know what I was saying. But when you know, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, glory be to my Lord, the Most High, it affects you now because you know what you're saying. So that was the thing where the majority of Muslims, they're not connecting with the Creator. Again, a Muslim is one that submits himself to the Creator. So again, your parents might have been, doesn't matter, your uncle, your father, great-great-grandfather, he went to Hajj 10 times, you hear these excuses, you know, oh, my grandfather, he went to, you know, Hajj 10 times. What does it have to do with you?
Right.
You know what I mean? So you need to connect with the Creator. You're one that Allah, you know, you're a Muslim, you need to pray, you need to, but they don't know the deen, they don't understand. So I'm also, the same way I'm reaching out to, and you're reaching out to the not yet Muslims, I figured that usually if the not yet Muslims, they can't understand it, most of the Muslims ain't going to understand it, you know? Because many of the Muslims, again, if I didn't know what Islam meant, what a Muslim was, that's the same boat that many,
so you take the approach of taking it general.
Taking it general.
So that you take as many people on that journey as possible.
I want to reach those people who are listening to Lady Gaga, Lady Gugu, 50 Cents, you know, all these people. That's the masses.
That's the masses, yes.
Those are the masses.
Exactly.
And those are the hearts and minds that we need to save. They're heading in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
So got to get them back on the right direction.
MashaAllah, excellent. Yeah. We'll take the last question, if there is one. Yes.
I was surprised that a lot of my friends have not heard of the Deen Show and never watched it. And I was wondering if you have a project to advertise about your Deen Show. You know, I'd like to put your ad in the local newspaper if I have the permission to do that.
On that, thank you very much. May Allah reward you. That is, again, people who can contribute. There's a brother from, I forgot what state, but he contributed. He said, how can I help? So we did on the website. I said, look, take the shows. They're for free. They're out there. If you can use them, put them on DVD and give them to someone. Okay, we got the people out. We interviewed them. We got their story. Do something with it. Do some work. We can't do everything now.
Right.
So take it, copy it, all right, and give it out. A brother made the website on a bumper sticker. It said, have you considered the purpose of life, right? And he printed it, sent it. So we give this out free whenever you buy a DVD, which is only $5. It's $5. You know what it costs to make these things. This is only to cover the cost because we give this to the non-Muslims for free. It's two DVDs, the DVDs for Dawah, and we have two DVDs in one case, and we give them out to the non-Muslims for free, and we ask the Muslims just for $5 so we can keep printing more. And what we do is then we encourage people to copy these, do your part, put it in the magazine like you had just offered to do. Take the ad. We can send the person a JPEG or a printable flyer or a design and go ahead and advertisement. This is the things that other people can do to help promote it. Word of mouth. You have a website, put our banner on your website. If you have a blog, if you have an email list, do your part. Contribute. Do your part for our brother's work, our work. You know, put them out together. This is what we really encourage people to do. This is how you can do your part and share in the wonderful reward.
MashaAllah, that's great. And I think that's a nice way to end up because in the end, I think you would agree with the statement of the fact that when we take on some level of responsibility of this deen, it's only a specific area. And we would like to do more sometimes, but we can't do everything. And so people, when they come forward and they want to help, it's good that we somehow begin inspiring a level of activity from them. If we're dealing with a specific project like MashaAllah the Deen Show and they want to contribute, but they have to come up with their own thinking strategies, project in order to be able to help that project. Because when it's a lot easier when someone comes and says, I have this idea, and it's like, MashaAllah, I'm glad you did that thinking because my capacity in my brain didn't allow me to get there. And so if every one of us, MashaAllah, shared in being able to, you know, help one another and work with one another, we would be that much stronger. I mean, whatever it is that we do, whatever message we have to offer, whatever project it is, and that's a great, MashaAllah, way to end it, because in the end, as you mentioned, this journey may have began with you as an individual, but then it becomes a community sort of effort. And there's that approach of, you know, us just taking a project on our own and doing whatever we think, or involving people, going through the difficulty of involving people, because sometimes it's easier to just say, I'm just going to do what I think. But MashaAllah, the Deen of Islam gets you to work with people, and you have to sometimes even put aside what you think because of the greater benefit of the people and what the people need. So mashallah, once again, I really appreciate, you know, the time of having you here. You're one of the first people who have come, and I've taken this time and spent this time. Imam Saraj was here about 2 weeks ago, and alhamdulillah, a good friend of mine, mashallah, consider him to be a mentor for years as well in regards to da'wah. And we sat here and we discussed as well. So mashallah. I think you're about the second person, mashallah, that,
you know. Thank you.
Mashallah. May Allah continue to bless you.
You too.
And please make dua for all of us. And welcome to Houston. And I hope, inshallah, tonight I think I'm doing a show with you.
So that's the thing now, that, you know, you got to ask the questions. So inshallah, now we got to set it up where you are going to be sitting in the chair and I'm going to be asking the questions. What do you think
mashallah.
About that?
Yeah, I think that's happening tonight, actually.
That's tonight.
Yeah, yeah. Mashallah. I'll be sure to prepare for that, inshallah.
So then if you don't mind, then people, because they're going to be like, how, you know, am I going to be able to see this show? Can I tell them where they can see it after it's done?
Of course.
Yeah,
of
so
course,
they go to thedeanshow.com. You're going to have your own section there and people can hear. We're going to be talking about your experiences, your journey to Islam, and all these wonderful questions and more I'm going to have him ask. So you can go to Deen Show soon. It'll be on there, inshallah.
MashaAllah. Jazakallah khair. May Allah bless you.
You too.
And hopefully, inshallah, see you tonight and tomorrow. We're also involved in something with the youth. May Allah bless you and you know, continue to support you. And, you know, I really thank those supporters of yours, you know, in the community, and for them to continue to come and help, you know, and assist you in whatever it is that you're doing and getting involved with projects like yours. And to help us as Muslims to benefit through the aspect of the media, which I think you're one of the pioneers in being able to do that. So may Allah accept from you, and Jazakallah khair.
We are. This is an example. This is how Muslims should be working it, like this, brother. I'm really honored. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
May Allah bless you.
Ameen. Jazakallah khair.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah.